Okay, today's daf is Bab Basra daf Kuf Lamed Aleph. We're holding on the very top of daf Kuf Lamed Aleph at the second line of the page. Abayi Rabba. The Gemara is going to raise the question that we've been discussing, the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, that one is allowed to divert the Yerusha from one Yoresh to another Yoresh. So the Gemara is going to question whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's din applies even if the guy is not a Shchiv Meira, even if the fellow is a Bari, he's a healthy person, or is this specially a din for a Shchiv Meira? We're going to try to bring a Raya to this issue from the notion of Ksubas Benin Dichrin, that a person, when he gets married, is able to write into the ksuba that the ksuba that is owed to his wife goes to her, the children that he has from her, over the other children that he may have from other wives, in addition to the Yerusha that they get among the children from the other wives. So from the language of the Ksubas Benin Dichrin, there's going to be a discussion that is had amongst the Tanaim that maybe is going to be a raya on this issue of whether a person is allowed to divert Yerusha even when he is a Bari. The Gemara then is going to go into a discussion, a broader discussion, about the Ksubas Benin Dichrin. Can we be Midayek from the Lashon of Yerusha that's used by Ksubas Benin Dichrin? Can we learn from any comparison between the Ksubas Benin Dichrin and Ksubas Benin Nukvin? There are also special guarantees that he makes for the female children that he may have from this wife. So, and that there are, but when it comes to the female children, it's certainly a Lashon of Matana. So is that something that can teach us about the Ksubas Benin Dichrin? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss, what if a person is Kosev Kol Nechasav? He says he's giving up all of his nechasim to his wife, to his ben gadol, to his ben katan. We have a whole bunch of different possibilities. What do we assume his intention is? Do we assume his intention is to really give a matana, or do we assume his intention is to appoint that person as an apotropos, but not that he's actually giving them a matana of kol nechasav? So the Gemara is going to discuss all of these issues. Let's begin at two lines from the top on daf kuf lamed aleph amud aleph. So frak the Gemara bayi rava. Bibari heich. What would be the din of about a person saying that a certain person should yarshin all of his property or the entirety of a specific property beyond what he would normally be entitled to, if the person saying this is still a healthy person? Ki ka amar Rabbi Yochanan broka b'shchiv mera devar orusehu. Does Rabbi Yochanan only say this din that he's allowed to be manchil to any one of his yorshim more than their portion if he the person who's being morish is already a shchiv mera, he's already dying at that point, he's considered to be someone who's in the parsha of Yerusha, so it's only by such a person that we say v'haya biyom hanchilo es banav aval bibari lo, but you wouldn't say this by a healthy person, or maybe he would say this even by a bari as well. The Rishonim discuss if the hanchal of Rabbi Yochanan Broka requires a kinyan, whether it be a sudar or a shtar, or it's just with dibur bialma, it's just with dibur alone. It's a discussion in the Rashba. So that may relate to this sugya, whether it applies to a bari or only to a shchiv meira, because divrei shchiv meira are kiksuvin akumsurin dami. Typically speaking, a shchiv mera does not require a kinyan where others would require a kinyan. So the discussion of whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's diversion of the Yerusha requires a kinyan or can be done with Dibur alone may relate to this question of the Gemara and to whether we ever resolve this question of the Gemara. We're going to see it's not so clear in the Gemara whether we resolve this question or not. But that's the shaila of the Gemara. Does it only apply to a shchiv mera or does it apply to a bari? The reason to say that a shchiv mera is considered a bar Yerusha is because he's going to be Yoresh very soon. He's about to die, so that would therefore be included in the pasuk of Biyom Hanchilo Esbanav, that it's mamish that day or close to it that he's actually going to be manchil. That's how the Yad Ramah writes that the mashmos of the pasuk is that he's very karov lemisa, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's entire din was derived from the pasuk of Biyom Hanchilo Esbanav. The Rush writes very similarly. There are Rishonim that explain the suffix of the Gemara a little differently, that a shchiv mira is that only by a shchiv mira his hanchala is very similar to Yerusha, since it's only makna la achar misa, whereas by a bari, typically when a bari gives something, he's being makna before before he dies. So the Shchiv Merah the Hakna is after he dies, and the Bari is typically before he dies. So maybe the only by Shchiv Merah the Torah was talking about that the Matana will have a din of Yerusha, not by a Bari, because a Bari typically is Matana, doesn't work that way. But so those are the ways the Rishonim explain the two sides of this question. So the Gemara says, okay, let's bring a Raya to whether the idea of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka applies even to a Bari. Rav Mishar Shel Rav Toshima. Let's come and bring a raya in the following way. Now, normally when you bring a raya, you bring from a Mishnah, you bring from a Braisa, meaning you have a Suffolk in the Amoraim, so you're going to bring from one from a Mishnah from a Braisa. So this Toshima, it's not clear where exactly this is. It doesn't seem to be a Mishnah or a Braisa. It seems to be a Shmua that was given over to the Amoraim that somehow the Amoraim had a tradition of, but it wasn't a properly formulated Mishnah or Braisa. This is that's what the Ramban makes the Ha'ara about the relative strength of this Tashma related to other Mishnayos and Braisos. But Tashma will bring a raya from the following. Da'amrla Rabbi Nassan the Rebbe. Rabbi Nassan Bavli said to Rebbe, he went. Rabbi Nassan was called Rabbi Nassan Bavli because he went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Nassan said to Rebbe, Rebbe who arranged all the Shisha Sidri Mishnah, Shinisa Mishnaschem Karabi Yochanan ben Baroka. Rebbe, you taught your Mishnayos to comply with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Ditnan, because you have a Mishnah, not here, the Mishnah that we were discussing yesterday, which we said maybe is Kula Rabbi Yochanan Broki, but even when you had a Stam Mishnah to teach somewhere else, you taught it in accordance with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, because there's a Mishnah Maseches Ksubis, on Nun Bezim Bez, it says as follows, Lo Kasavla, if a man does not write to his wife, in the Ksuba, Binindichrin Dihavyan Lich Minai, Inun Yartun Kesef Ksubasich, Yosar Chalukeon Dimachuhon. If he does not write to his wife that the male children that you will have from me will Yarshin from me the money of the Ksuba, aside from the regular Yerusha that they get with all of the other siblings, all of the other children that I may have from other wives, this is what we call a Ksubas Binindichrin. Even if you don't write it into the Ksuba, Chayiv, Shetnai Bezdinhu. You still have to do it, meaning they're still going to receive the Ksubas Binindichrin, because Bezdin made this Tanai that this is something that a husband is obligated to do. So it says, if he wrote it into the Shtar Ksuba, and that is like Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that a person is able to be Manchil Leben Ben Abana, because that's exactly what you're doing by the Ksubas Binindichrin. You're taking certain properties that belong to you, and you're saying, this is not going to go into the general pot of Yerusha that gets split by everybody else, rather this is going to be earmarked for these children specifically, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan Baroka holds. This is the notion of Ksubas Binindichrin. The basic idea of Ksubas Binindichrin is that a woman dies and her husband Yarshin Suksuba, and then the man dies, so that woman is nervous that all, and certainly her father would be nervous that whatever she's bringing into the marriage and the husband is going to Yarshin is going to be taken away from their own family, meaning for her father says, well, what, my grandchildren aren't going to get, this is going to be given to someone else's children. So as a way of giving them the comfort of knowing that it's going to stay in their family, so whatever she brings into the marriage with her ksuba, that's going to go to specifically to her children. That's beyond the regular Yerusha. This is both true about the Ikr Ksuba, meaning the mana or le'almana or masayim to basula that every husband is obligated in when they get married, and on the Tosefes Ksuba that he adds for her on his own, and on the Nadunya that she brings from her father's house. Meaning there are three parts of every Ksuba. I remember at my wedding when Rav Shechter was doing the Kabbalah's Kinyan with me at the Chasnistah, she said, you're now having in mind to be Makabel Achrayus for all three parts of the Ksuba, as you're familiar with what the three parts of the Ksuba were. It happened to be that I wasn't that familiar, and I had learned Ksubas, but I had forgotten what the three parts of the Ksuba. So I always remind every Chasn what exactly they're being Mechayev themselves in. There's the Mana Masayim, the basic, hopefully in most cases, Masayim, the Besula, that you're obligated in. Then, Hosafa Min Delay, that the own mezukuk and kasef tsarif. There's mezukuk and kasef tsarif, which is the tosefes ksuba, and then your most of own mezukuk and kasef tsarif achayim kenegdam, corresponding to what she's bringing into the marriage. To even the, meaning, it, really technically, we should do an assessment of what she's bringing into the marriage and figure out how much are all of her dresses worth and how much are her appliances worth, or whatever it is that she may bring into the marriage. But the minhag long ago already changed to not doing an actual assessment and to just always assuming that it's worth meiz kukum kasef tzarif, which really at the time was a dream. It wasn't for most people. Most Jews didn't have anything worth near meiz kukum kasef tzarif. A woman had two shmatas that she brought into the marriage. There wasn't really much, but it was a way of lechav val baila, to make it ki'ilu that they're such ashirim that they had meiz kukum kasef tzarif worth of possessions. Now the other children also get the ksuba from their mother, so it's not like they're losing out, but it could be that this woman, meaning, so if all of the sons, it's a Tanai Basin, and all of the sons from all of the wives are going to get a ksuba from Nidichrin, why does it matter? Meaning, just don't do a ksuba from Nidichrin, and then we split the Yerusha normally, and everyone will get what they're supposed to get anyway. So the reason it matters is because it's true that the Ikar ksuba is the same. First of all, the Tosefes ksuba might not be the same. He may, at different points in his life, add more into the ksuba for one wife over another, and certainly what she brings, the nadunya that she brings into the marriage, may not be the same. So that's the value of a ksubas bin adichrin. The reason for this takana, as we said before, the Gemara says in ksubas bin beis and beis, is Rabbi Yochanan quotes Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, "Mipnei ma'askinu ksubas bin adichrin, k'dei sheikbots adam yichtov lebito kibino." It was to encourage the father-in-law, to encourage the girl's father, to want to give a lot to his daughter, so he'll do so knowing that the money's going to stay in the family, that it's not going to go to someone else's children. So that was the motivation behind ksubas bin adichrin. But bottom line is, you're writing your ksubas bin adichrin while you are healthy, while you are getting married, and yet we see that fundamentally ksubas bin adichrin is a diversion of the Yerusha from some children to other children. And it works. You're allowed to do it. So you see, Rabbi Nassan HaBavli's taina is that the Mishnah could have been according to everybody, but this Mishnah apparently is dafka only according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. So we're just going to finish up this conversation between Rabbi Nassan HaBavli and Rabbi, but the proof is already there. Meaning the proof is that we're assuming this is going dafka like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, and this is a diversion of the Yerusha, and it's happening while someone is healthy. But Vamala Rabbi says, the Mishnah, it doesn't say in the Mishnah Yartun, it doesn't say Yerusha, but Yasvun Tanan. It says that Yasvun, they will take the Ksubas Min Adichrin, meaning that he's giving it to them as a Matana. Now a Matana, that works even according to the Chachamim. So the Mishnah, in fact, is not going like Rabbi Yochanan Broka at all, because you could certainly give a Matana to some of your children over the others. So that's why it's not a Raya to Rabbi Yochanan Broka at all, and therefore wouldn't be a Raya in our Sugi either. The Amar Rabbi, Yaldus Haisabi, the Asti Panai Benasana Bavli. Rabbi later on said, it was immature what I just did by answering him that it says Yasvun in the Ksubas bin Adichrin, and in the Mishnah rather, and that it all works as a Matana, not as Yerusha, and it was a chutzpah for me to suggest that answer to Nasana Bavli by telling with something that was fundamentally incorrect. So I should not have done that. Rather, Ela Dekaimelan, that which we say that we have a halacha, Benin Dichrin lo tarfa mimashabdi, that the Benin Dichrin, these male children from this wife, are not allowed to collect their ksubas Benin Dichrin from nechasu mishubadim, meaning let's say there isn't enough in the estate currently to collect the full amount of the ksubas Benin Dichrin, they cannot go to people who have purchased property from their father to collect that ksubas Benin Dichrin. But isal kadai tach yasvin tanan, if you're going to say the whole thing was a matana, it was all b'loshon yasvun, it was a matana, amaylo tarfa mimashabdi, why wouldn't they be able to collect from nechasu mishubadim? Anytime he had a chov, the balei chov are allowed to go collect from nechasu mishubadim. El shmamina yartun tanan, it must be that it really is yartun, it is b'loshon yartun, and since it's Yerusha, they only get it la'achar misa, and that's why they are not entitled to collect from the nechasim that he had sold while he's still still alive. And therefore, Rabbi Nosson is correct that this Mishnah Dafka goes according to Rabbi Yochum and Baroka and cannot be reconciled according to the Chachamim. The Ritva raises the question that that's an excellent point, meaning Rabbi Nosson Bavli says, ooh, the Mishnah is going only like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka. So Rabbi says, no, it's a Matana, it's not a Yerusha. And Rabbi Nosson Bavli says, okay, he takes the answer and that's it. And then Rabbi says, by the way, that was a ridiculous answer because obviously it's not a Lashon Matana, it's obviously a Yerusha. If it was a Matana, he'd be able to be Torah Mimashabadi, he'd be able to take from Lekuchos. So asks the Ritva, how did Rabbi Nosson not chap that? How could Rabbi Nosson just accept Rabbi's answer? How does he not chap that? It's clearly working Midin Yerusha. So the Ritva suggests a number of possibilities. First of all, Rabbi Nosson holds that Ksubsman and Dechrin maybe is Gova Mimashabdi. Maybe Rabbi Nosson disagrees with that halacha. He holds that they are allowed to collect from the Chasim Mishubadim, which would make sense if it's a Matana. Second, it could be that Rabbi Nosson Bavli knew how to reject this answer. He wanted Rabbi to come to it on his own. He wanted to let it sit a little bit with Rabbi as Rabbi was giving this answer for Rabbi to come to it on his own. And third, it could be that he held that Rabbi didn't really mean it as a Matana, but rather it's Ke'ein Yasfu. And it's similar to a Matana, like when we see Abayi holds later on. It says, if you say, Lezeb Yerusha, Lezeb Matana, where Dvarav Kayamin, where the Lashon Matana works. And the Ritva says, the truth is that third answer is the most correct of the answers. So in the end of the day, Rebbe's admitting that the Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka. Why would the Stam Mishnah be going like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka? Because we paskin like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka. And this is one of the rayas that when we said that, we said yesterday that all the Amoraim who were paskin like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka, which version of Rabbi Yochum and Baroka did they paskin like? They paskin like the version of Rabbi Yochum and Baroka, the second version of Rabbi Yochum and Baroka, where you could divert the Yerusha to a Ben Ben Abanim or a Bas Ben Abanos, but not to an Acher Ben Abanos or to a Bas Ben Abanim, or even like the first version. So it seems that we're assuming like Rabbi Yochum and Baroka Dafka by a Ben Ben Abanim. That it's Dafka in such an instance that we're making the assumption to follow the Rabbi Yochum ben Baroka. Now it's also interesting that when Rebbe self-criticizes over here, when Rebbe says, how could I do that? So what's his criticism of himself? How could I do what? So you would think it's, how could I give an answer that was wrong? Meaning I gave an explanation that was incorrect. But that's not his emphasis. His emphasis is, how do I have such chutzpah? He as tipanim to Nasna Bavli. The Avni Miluim in Simon Kuf Yud Aleph raises this ha'ara that Rebbe says that he was meiz panav ben Nasna Bavli. What about just the fact that he said something that was just totally incorrect? So he says Rebbe Lishitasa could hold that it's Yasvun Tznan and you still don't collect from the Chasim Shvadin that it's a Matana, because it's not a Matana that's written in a shtar. The Shita of Ula in Mesechas Gittin and Daf Nunam Beis is that even a Matana, but if it's not written in a shtar, you're not able to collect from the Chasim Shvadin. Rabbi Nosson Lishitaso can't hold that way because he disagrees with such a shita. He holds that you would be able to collect from the Chasim Shabbatim. So that's why he was just it was the ha'aza of saying that to Rabbi Nosson, who clearly would never accept such an answer. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, so why did we bring all this whole conversation in? We want to be able to prove whether Rabbi Yochum and Baroka would apply his din even by a bari. So manchamalei dislei ha'isvara, who's the one that holds that you could give more to one of the Yorshim than the others? Rabbi Yochum and Baroka. That is obviously the shita of Rabbi Yochum and Ben Baroka. Ushramina afilu bebari, and you see very clearly that this applies even to a bari, because the man who's being mechayiv himself in the ksubas bin adichrin, it's at the time that he's getting married. We assume at the time that he's getting married, he's probably basically healthy. And therefore, says the Rashbam, nifshat ha-safek, we have now resolved the safek. Rabbi Yochum and Broka's din applies even to a bari, and everything we're going to say from here on in is just going to be to explain the shita of Rebbe and the logic of Rebbe, but we've already resolved the question we came to answer. That is not agreed upon by all Rishonim. That is what the Rashbam writes over here. Some Rishonim say like the Rashbam, but other Rishonim disagree. Rov Rishonim hold that it's not Nifshat HaSafek. The Rif, the Rimigash, that line of Rishonim, believe that the Safek has not yet been resolved. Let's see why not. Let's see what the Gemara has to say about this. So the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit more, a little bit deeper, within Shitas Rebbe. Amar Le Rav Papa L'Abaye. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, why does Rebbe have to respond to Rabbi Nassan that Yasvun Tanan, that it's a Lashon Matana, and that's why you're able to be Manchil, even according to the Rabbanan who disagreed to Rabbi Yochum and Broka, that's why you're able to give these children over others, because you're just giving it to them as a Matana, you're not giving it as Yerusha anyway. Bein Leman Diyamar Yasvun, Bein Leman Diyamar Yirtun, whether you're saying Yisvun, whether you're saying Yirtun, Ha'ein Adam Makna Davash Lobal Yolim, there's a more fundamental problem over here. It shouldn't work no matter what, because you can't be makna something that you don't yet have. So how can he be makna to his children the chasim that he's only going to get later on? The ksubas bin dikrin guarantees them that when the woman dies, they're going to get whatever it is that he has in his possession to pay up what he owes over there. Most of the things that he's going to have in his possession, or many of the things he's going to have in his possession at that time, are things that he does not yet have in his possession at this time, at the time that he's getting married. Person gets married, he's young, he didn't even start his career yet, or he's just starting, he's going to amass his wealth over a period of time. So l'chora, the whole system doesn't make sense, and it needs to be explained. And even if you want to assume, like Shitas Rav Meir, that yes, a person could be makna something that's lo bal yolam, hanimili lidavar shiyash no ba'olam, that's at least if the kona, the person that you're being makna to, is already in the olam. Aval davar sheino ba'olam, but to a person who is not yet in existence, lo, that Rav Meir would never say such a kinyan would work. And who's he being makna to? He's getting married. It's the day of his wedding. They don't have any children yet. He's being makna to her male children a certain amount of Yerusha, but they don't even exist yet. So how does the whole system work? Before you discuss Yisfun, Yirtun, is it Yerusha, is it a Matana? None of that should work anyway. There's no one to give to. The whole thing is Lo Bal Yolam. Ella Tanai Bezdin Shiny. What you have to say is that this is a Tanai Bezdin, and since it's a Tanai Bezdin, it's different than any other Chiyuv that a person accepts upon himself. Bezdin has the ability to be mechayev a person in things that he cannot be mechayev himself in. And this works probably midin hefker, bezin, hefker, where bezin could take away money that he gets whenever he gets it. So therefore, he could be mechayev himself in even things that are lo bal yolam. Oh, so hachanami, tonight bezin shiny. So that could resolve the question Rabbi Nassan asked. How is this man allowed to divert Yerusha to his children? That doesn't necessarily have to be going like Rabbi Yochum and Broka. That could just be a special tonight bezin. And the Mishnah could even be following the Shita of the Chachamim, that even though B'darach Klal, Hanchala does not work in such a way where you're giving to some children more than others, but a Tanai Beis, it makes it work. So why does Rabbi have to say to Rabbi Nassan Abavli, Yisvun Tanan, in order to make the Mishnah work for the Rabbanan? You don't even have to say that in the first place. Amar Lei, so Abaye explains to Rav Papa, the fact that Rabbi didn't give this answer to Rabbi Nassan, Mishum Tukamapik La Balashon Yirtun, because in the Mishnah it says a Lashon of Yirtun. Had Rabbi answered Rabbi Nassan that Yirtun Tanan, but nevertheless it works because of Tanai Beis Din, Rabbi Nassan would have easily fired back right at him and said, yeah, well then why did you use the word Yirtun? Why didn't you use the word Yisvun? Meaning just from the fact that you chose that Lashon of Yirtun, that itself implies like Rabbi Yochum and Broka. Meaning I'm not asking on why it works. Eino chinami, it could work just because of a Tanai Beis Din. I'm asking on the way in which you describe that it works. You describe it as a Yerusha rather than as a Matana. By describing it as a Yerusha, you're going like Rabbi Yochum and Broka. Hadar Amar Abaye, then Abaye said, you know what? Lav milsi hida amri. What I said was not really correct. Rebbe did not have to say Yisvun Tanan in order to make the Mishnah fit like the Chachamim. Even with the word Yirtun in the Mishnah could have been explained like the Chachamim. Did Tanan? Because the Mishnah goes on in Masechta
Mesechus Ksubis, and the Mishnah says, Lo kasav la b'ninuk v'ndiavin lichi minayi, yehavion yasun b'vesi v'yitzinon minichsai, aditi lakhan l'guvrin. If a guy does not write the Ksubis b'ninukvin into the Ksuba, Ksubis b'ninukvin is the guarantee that their daughters, that the daughters that he has from this marriage, should be allowed to stay in the home and be supported by the estate until they get married, even if he doesn't write that explicitly in the Ksuba, Chayiv Shu Tanai Bezin. He's Chayiv to provide that anyway, because it's a Tanai Bezin that every Jew is obligated to do. So since these Takanos were together, Benin Nukvin and Benin Dichrin, V'hava L'zeh B'matana, L'zeh B'Yerusha, and clearly the Benin Nukvin was said B'Lashon Matana, that's a Lashon Yasvan B'Besi V'Yitzanan is considered a Lashon Matana, and the halacha is that any time, as we discussed yesterday, 2 days ago, that when you give to one person b'lashon Yerusha and to the other person b'lashon Matana, even the Chacham Marmoda, that such a nesina works as a din of Matana. That's what we said on Kuf Chavavim Beis, that if you say b'lashon Matana, bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'sof, dvarav kayamim, it's going to work. So the Mishnah, when it says, yeah, it says yartun, but that's okay, because it's saying Yartun together with Yisvun. Even if it's Shnei Bnei Adam, Shtei Sados, we had that whole discussion, and you say one of them B'Lashon Matana, one of them B'Lashon Yerusha, we assume that all of it works as a Lashon of Matana. So that's why Rav Papa's question is a good question. Why does Rebbe have to say Yisvun Tanan? Rebbe could just say the whole thing is a Tanai Bezdin. It doesn't have to be Yisvun Tanan. The whole thing is a Matana, and it's a Tanai Bezdin. That's such a Matana. Will work. So Amalei Rav Nechumi v'istamer Rav Chananya Bar Minyumi la Abaye. Rav Nechumi, and some say it was Rav Chananya Bar Minyumi, says to Abaye, Mimay d'bechad beidina itkin. How can you say that that we can so closely link the Ksubas b'nin Dichrin with the Ksubas b'nin Nikvin? How do you know that it was that both takanos were made by the same Bezdin, where you're going to consider it to be like a Lashon Matana and Yerusha that are both betoch k'dei dibur of each other? Dilma betrei beidina itkun. Maybe these were two separate takanos made by two separate batei din, and they have no connection between them. So a Lashon Matana of one is not going to help for the other takana. So even though the benin nukvin may be b'lashon matana, that's not going to help for the ksubas benin dichrin. So that's why Rabbi Nassan and Rabbi said the Mishnah has to be going like Rabbi Yochanan and Baroka. Meaning you didn't have an easy way out. You couldn't say, oh, it's even going like the Chum, and don't worry, you're not really diverting Yerusha. This is all Tanai based in B'Lashon Matana. No, the Lashon Matana was B'nin Nukvin. B'nin Dichrin is not B'Lashon Matana, it's B'Lashon Yerusha. That's Dafka like Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. So it says Gemara Lo Salta Baita. You can't think that these two Takanos were made in two separate Batei Din. The Katani Resha, because the Mishnah says earlier Masech Ksubas and Daf Mem Tes, right before these Takanos, it says Zem Medrash Dorish Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria Lefnei Chachamim, that when Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was appointed the Nasi, this is what he darshened B'Kerem B'Yavne, in the place called Kerem B'Yavne, which is where the Talmidei Chacham sat in the base Medrash Shuros Shuros K'Kerem. That's the that's why it was called Kerem B'Yavne. I mean, it was in Yavne, that's why it was called B'Yavne. I think Rabbi Foreman once pointed out that the whole thing was meant to be the idea of referring it to referring to it as a kerem, B'Yavne was meant to be like almost like a joke. That how could that be? Yavne is a bunch of sand dunes. You can't make a kerem in Yavne. But that's the metaphor of Torah, that Torah could be planted anywhere. So when you're describing a kerem, cannot be planted anywhere, but Torah could be planted anywhere. So even if you go to a midbar, no matter where you go in the world, and you think there can never be Torah here, there could never be Torah in this place. No, Torah could survive anywhere. You could have a kerem of Torah planted in Yavne, which is a bunch of sand dunes, which can't support such growth. So that's why they called it Kerem B'Yavne, because that tells you the koach of the Torah. But anyway, one of the things that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria darshan in front of the Chachamim in Kerem B'Yavne is that Habanim Yirshu, the sons will yarshin their mother's ksuba. That's the ksubas benin dichrin. The Habanos Yizanu, and the daughters will get supported from the nechasim of their father. And And we can learn from that. Mahabanim einun yorshin elachar misas aviem. Just like the Yerusha that the banim receive is only, since it's said belashon Yerusha, it's only after the father's death. So too, the mizonos that the daughters are entitled to is also only after the misa of their father. So you can't force the father to give the mizonos when he's alive. So the Gemara proves from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah compares the two takanos to each other. Apparently, they go hand in hand with each other. Otherwise, how could you learn from one to the other? So iyam b'shlama b'chad beidini itku. If you say that they were all in the same Beisdin, so then it makes a lot of sense. So you're going to learn one takana from another takana, because there's no chiluk between the takana, so it's mistaver that they're one and the same, that they're only going to apply after Misa Sa'av and not while the father is alive. But if you assume that they're in two separate batedin, how does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have the right to learn one takana from the other takana? It has to be that they were in the same basin, and therefore we consider this as if you're giving one field belashon Yerusha, one field belashon Matana, where we assume betoch kedei dibor of each other, and the lashon Matana is going to be chal on everything, even on that which you give belashon Yerusha. And therefore, just keeping track of this whole conversation, we're back to the question, why does Rabbi Nassan and Rebbe have to say that the Mishnah is dafka going, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Yeah, there's such a thing as ksubas ben Adichrin, but that doesn't mean that a man has the right to divert Yerusha from one Yorish to another. No, this is a lashon of Matana. It's not nothing to do with Yerusha. He says Yirtun, yeah, but he says Yisvun by the ksubas ben Nukvin, and that applies, that lashon of Yisvun applies to the ksubas ben Adichrin as well, because it's all part of the same takana. So this is a matana. This has nothing to do with Yerusha. So if it's all a matana, it's all got nothing to do with Yerusha, you can't prove anything about Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Baroka. So the Gemara says, no, mimai. How do you know that that's in fact the case? Dilma liolamei melach b'trei bedini itkun. You cannot prove from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah comparing the ksubas ben Nukvin to the ksubas ben Dichrin that both takanos were made in the same Beis Din. No, maybe they were made in two separate batei din. Ubeidina basra tikun kebeidina kama. The later Beis Din, the Beis Din that was misakin, the second takana, was misakin in a way that it should be similar to the first takana. So that people won't ask in what way this takana is different from that takana, that one is only lachar misa and the other one is even b'chayev. So even though we learn one takana from the other, it doesn't mean that they were made at the same time, that they were made in the same Beis Din. So yes, you can learn some of the details of one from the other, but still that doesn't have the status of giving two sados to two people, one belashon matana, one belashon Yerusha, where all of it is considered to be a lashon matana. So that's why Rabbi Nassan wonders, why does it say ksubas ben Dichrin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka? Why do we write a Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka? And that's why Rabbi had to be miyashev by saying yisvun tanan. That's why Rabbi initially had to give that answer of yisvun tanan. So as we said, there is a machlokas rishonim what to make of all of this. The Rashbam understands that Rav Papa and Abaye are discussing with the conversation between Rabbi and Rabbi Nassan just to explain why they would be mamid the Mishnah like Rabbi Yochanan Brok. And the maskan of the Gemara is, like we said, that you can't ask why do we establish the Mishnah like him and not like the Chamim, and the Takanos are going to help because of the Tziruf of Lashon Yerusha and Lashon Matana, because the Takanos were not Mesukan together, and therefore you cannot be Mitzarif the two Lashonos. And even though the Gemara says it as a Lashon of Dilma, but that's just to be Miyashev, Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan. As far as the Rashbam is concerned, though, the actual Iker Suffolk of Rava, does Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka speak about a Bari or only a Shchiv Mera? That we've already resolved. That is certainly that he's speaking even of a Bari. However, the Ramban and other Rishonim, the Rif and others, assume that since the Gemara says Dilma, this is not a real Dechia. This Dilma means maybe. It's only trying to be Miyashev. But you still have to say the Hechrich of Rabbi Nassim, that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yochum and Broca, is rejected. It could be that even according to the Chachamim, the Takana would work. So even though Rabbi Nassim is a Tana, Rabbi Nassim is a Tana, and you shouldn't be cholik on him, but even Rabbi Nassim never said this as a definitive statement. It was only a Lashon She'ela. And since at the end we don't have a clear resolution to that Shayla, so you can't prove that Rabbi Yochum and Broca is speaking about a Bari as well. It could be that he was only talking about a Shchiv Mirah, and the Takana works, even according to the Chachamim, because it's a Lashon Matana, so you're allowed to give to Ksubis Bin Indichrin, Lashon Matana, to whoever you want, but it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yochum and Broca. So according to a group of Rishonim, we've never really answered the question that we started over here, that we don't know whether Rabbi Yochum and Broca only applies to a Shchiv Mirah or even to a Bari. So period, that is the end of that discussion. Amar Avidam Shmuel, HaKosev Kol Nechasov Li'ishtal. Let's say a person writes as a Shchiv Mirah that he's giving all of his Nechasim as a Matana to his wife. Lo asa ela apotropa. All he's doing is appointing her an apotropos, that she's in charge of the estate, that she's responsible for it, and from there the children should be supported based on her assessment of what their needs are. But he definitely didn't mean to really give it to her as a matana, because this is an umdana. We assume that a person would not leave his children with nothing and give everything to his wife, even though that typically is the practice nowadays. When we write a halachic will or whatever, usually if the wife is alive, she's the one that gets everything, and then it's meant that after she dies that the children will get. But nevertheless, the assumption that the Gemara made was that there's no way that that's what a person has in mind. He clearly only wants to make her an apotropos so that the children will give her a proper kavod and will be kavod to her, that it should be a nesina gemura, meaning in order to create a relationship where the children will have to respect the mother, so he sort of creates a power relationship where she's in charge of where their food is coming from, because she has all of the money, so they have to now respect his wife after he dies. So says Gemara Pshita, Bno Hagadol La Asal Apotropa. Certainly, if he writes all of his nechasim to his oldest son, clearly he's only making him an apotropos, because again, we have that same umdana that since they're chayiv in the kavod of the Ben Hagadol Min HaTorah, he wants them to give kavod to that Ben Hagadol, so that's the way he sets it up, that they're going to have to give kavod. What if he says, I'm giving all of my nechasim to my young son, to the younger son? Do we say that since he's a katan, there's no way the father's trying to set up to give him kavod and make him an apotropos so that everyone will be mechabed him? There's no din of being mechabed a young son, and therefore maybe he's actually giving it as a matana? Or do we say no, maybe he wants them to respect the young son as well? Say itmar, Rabbi Chanan bar Idi Amar Shmuel, afilu Bno Katan Hamutal Ba'arisa. Not only does it apply to a young son, even if he's a baby, he's still in a crib, we still say that he intends to make him an apotropos so that the brothers will give him a sense of kavod, and that he's not really intending to give it as a matana. Says Gemara Pshita, what's obvious is the following. A person has several sons, and he says, Bno the Acher, and he writes all of his nechasim to his son, or if he writes it to another person, or so Acher b'matana ubno apotropos. When he gives his nechasim to the Acher, we assume that's certainly a matana. That's not to make him an apotropos, because why would he try to give kavod to some other guy? You can't assume that he gave him as an apotropos, but to his son, we can assume that he made him an apotropos. Ishto the Acher, if he writes his nechasim to Ishto and he writes it to Acher, la Acher b'matana, le Ishto apotropos. To the Acher is a matana, his wife is an apotropos. Ishto arusa, Ishto grusha b'matana, and it's also pashut if he gives it to his wife who's only in arusa, they don't have any suin yet, or to a divorced wife, someone who's an ex-wife, so that's certainly a matana. He's not trying to give them any sense of kavod. He's not choshesh in their kavod at all. Ibailu, but here's the question. Bas etzel habanim, v'isha etzel ha'achim, v'isha etzel b'nei abal, mahu. What if he gives it all to a daughter amongst the sons? Or he gives it to a wife when he has brothers and he doesn't have any sons. And there's no din that his brothers have to be mechabit his wife. There's a din that his children have to be mechabit his wife, whether they are her children or not. You have to be mechabit Eishas Aviv as well, or an Isha Eitzel B'nei Abal. He writes all of his nechasim to his wife when he has, I'm sorry, there's a din that the children have to be mechabit the mother, but the shaila is Isha Eitzel B'nei Abal. What about a stepmother? These are children from another marriage. Ma'u, what's the din in these cases? Do we assume that it's an apotropos, or do we assume that he wants to give it to them as a real matana? So it says Gemara, Amar Avina Mishmei de Rava, Bekulu lo kana. In all the cases, it's not a matana, it's only an apotropos. Lebar me ishtar arusa ve ishtar grusha. Except for ishtar arusa, ishtar grusha, in those cases we assume that they're making an apotropos. Avira Mishmei de Rava, Amar Bekulu kani. In all cases, matana, lebar me isha etzel achin. Except for the wife by the brothers, ve isha etzel b'nei abal. And the wife by the b'nei abal, that if he gives all the nechasim to the wife, and he has banim from another wife, that he's only making her an apotropos. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Bayi Rav on the top of Kuf Lamed Beis.